Hello, everybody. It's me, Cynthia Garrett, and welcome to this week's session. And we've had a really great couple of weeks hanging out with Corey Asbury. And, you know, look, everybody all around the world knows the hit worship song, Reckless Love. It has rocked all of us in one church service or at one conference or another this past year. Corey really, he put all of the anointing that God gave him into that song. And he called that song the culmination of a journey that he's been on. And most of us understand that journey. And I think it's why the song touches us so deeply. So we have been having some wonderful wrap-ups to our shows, our sessions, when we have on guests that have said some things that we really want to talk more about and unpack with you. And so that we all walk away really like solidifying some of the lessons and the conversations that we've had with some really great guests who God has really blessed us with. So joining me on the couch for this wrap-up session is Roger Charles, my husband. You kind of all know him. Christina Reynolds, our resident and very talented singer, songwriter, and my sister in Christ. And my daughter, who many of you are just meeting for the first time, Hannah Fritsch. She's also my little English daughter, so you must know when you hear her speaking, that accent is really real. So, that's really real, and it's homegrown. See, I have more of a connection to the UK than you guys thought. God knew. God knew. It's amazing, actually, kind of, it's sort of something that's kind of a theme with Corey, you know? God knows the plans that he has for us. Mm. And if we'll just only hold on, what an incredible ride it would be. Because to be honest with you, if it weren't for here, you might not be here. Mm. You know, I think about I think about a lot of stuff and how important this country is to me because of you. So thank you, England. So, aww. You know, one of the things that Corey said, and I know Roger and I have known Corey a long time since he was a younger man. We love him.
Totally.
Yeah, we love Corey.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's the best. I used to coax Corey to come down to Bible study in our home in Kansas and share his testimony and play worship. And he was such a reluctant rock star. I used to say, you're such a reluctant rock star. but I did the same thing to you, Christina. I used to coax you into the living room to share testimony and worship for us. And one of the things that Corey said about that I thought was so great, and I'd love to start here, is that he learned how to be a son when he became a father. Mm. And I get that. I learned how to be a daughter when I became a mom. So what about, true. What do you think about that statement?
Absolutely. When he said that, I wanted to cry almost because I miss my kids now.
Yeah.
But it's such a powerful statement because you just can't even understand it until you're in the other, like in the other person's shoes. And I have to now show that love and that unending forgiveness and patience to a little kid and to see, I mean, constantly me and my husband are getting massive like revelations of who God is as a father, as we're parenting. Because now we get to experience like a little bit of what he experiences. Obviously we're broken, yeah. But we get like this dim look into the beauty of his parenting.
Yeah.
And it wrecks me every time.
I know.
So I was like, yes, Corey, I'm on that train.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, it's cool for me to even think, you know, when the scripture says, if those of you being good fathers give good things, mm-hmm. how much more your Father in heaven? Like, so I know how much I love my son, mm-hmm. and I know how much I love Hannah. But I think about the fact that God loves them so much more than me. Yeah. Like, I almost don't think it's possible sometimes mm-hmm. to love. When I love a kid, I love a kid, you know? But he does.
This sounds, so obviously I don't have children, but God did give me a cat, which became my child. And it was interesting because the other day, since moving back to England from America, he's been cooped up in a city, and the Lord started to speak to me, and he was like, you don't know where he goes every day. He's off in fields. Cats don't. But you don't worry about it. And he was like, you will learn this. He was like, I've given you this to learn about it for when you're a parent. Because the thing is that we worry. And God also said to me the other day, I never worry. Mm. I never worry about you. Even when it looks so bad, I'm not worried because I know it all. I knew it from the beginning. I am the beginning. And I know the end because I finished it and I will finish it.
That's this really from the child who causes me to worry every time she's out of my sight. But oh my goodness, I'm sitting here so convicted right now. It's true. The biggest thing that I had to work out in my relationship with God was that he wouldn't give me control of Christian and control of you and the children that I love that I know are my kids. And that is so deep because Tyson does go off. He goes off and plays all day. He goes out catting around, and then he comes back at the end of the day for food. But as parents, the second that our kids are out of our sight, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I am worried.
And there were certain parts of it where he was like, you don't even question it. You don't even go up to Tyson and go, tell me where you've been. You know, like, how ridiculous would that be? Yeah. Because I can't communicate in a language with him. I respect him. I respect that time. And it's kind of, and I remember the first time being there and I was like, oh my gosh, where's the cat? And then I was like, Lord, is he okay? And I was like, I have to trust you. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes when you have to trust God, like, well, you don't have a choice to trust it. Mm-hmm. It teaches you some of the biggest truths there are.
I'm so just true. Sitting here laughing. I'm like,
and me and my cat.
Yeah, I'm like I just got a parenting lesson
from a cat.
From a cat and a child. from a little girl and a cat.
This is like,
this
Roger's
is like a book.
This is Roger's book here somewhere.
Now, this is, I love it because, you know, Raj, now, you know, he sits there and he'll take it all in. Yeah. And then he's going to give us the mic drop to make sense out of all of this.
Out of all my crazy cat lady stuff.
But there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. Mm. I will, you will ask questions though when the cat comes home. After you push it into the world, you'll ask questions. Where have you been? Who have you been with? It's not my job to parent them. It's my job to parent you. You have to call in, you have to check it. She'll ask questions.
She will. But that being said, you know, Jesus makes a huge change when he starts teaching. You know, he teaches right out of the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament books. But what he makes a big shift in is talking about God as his father and as our father. And the Old Testament does mention that from time to time, but primarily, no, Lord, God, you know, creator. Father, not so much, but Jesus starts this message of God being your father. And just like you quoted him as saying, right, that he knows how to give good things to those who love him. And, you know, we don't become fathers in some sort of metaphorical way that's somewhat similar to God. Mm-hmm. Not at all. God's the first father. And when we become parents, we get to understand how he thinks.
Yeah,
right.
Your thinking and your care for Christian is in you only because it's in him.
So good. Yeah.
The worry's not in him because he knows everything and he's all powerful. But on the other hand, the love, of course, this is his son, right. Christian, you know?
We love, or Hannah. We love because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I just had Hannah location share with me. That way I can always look up and see where she is. Well, it's not because I'm worried about her. It's because if I want to come see her, I know where she is. Right. I don't have to text her. I can just say, hey, I'm going to come meet you. Why? Because I know where she is. Well, God's like that. I'm location sharing with God all the time. He knows what I'm up to all the time. And he's my father. And when we think of rules, we think of things to follow. We think of a paradigm to live within. We were just talking about that personality test. It's the same thing.
Right.
It's a religion to follow. It's a pattern to live within. Oh. For some reason, that's easier for us than having a relationship with God and just pleasing him. Yeah. You don't have to worry about all the rules and regulations if you just love God with all your heart.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, and I say...
He did mic drop, by the way. Mic dropped.
Yeah, that was definitely a mic drop. But it's so true, because I always say, and I know you can relate to this, you guys... It was God's love that caused me to surrender. It was God's love that caused me to change. It was God's love that allows me daily to give up things that maybe my flesh or my selfishness or my pride, you know, might want. It's his love. And love is a great force for change and growth, mm-hmm. you know? So why do we see such a lack of love sometimes within family? Mm. Is it a broken? Is it because the family, there's a brokenness inherent?
Remember I said that it isn't that we're living some more metaphorical parenting. Mm. God really is a parent.
Yeah.
Not understanding you're part of that eternal family and not experiencing you being a part of that eternal family. If you're experiencing God as your father and knowing that heaven is your home, not here, then as you live with God, it changes your perspective on everything here in the temporary. Mm-hmm. God cares about eternity. We care about here. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, no, don't do that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?
Right. Yeah, that's one of my favorites right there, boy. You know, I love what Corey shared about how the Lord asked him, after all the success of his song this past year, he asked if he would show reckless love to his family and take a season off of everything, turn down opportunities to make more money. You know, because you don't take time off when you have a hit record. Mm-hmm. You take more time on. You take more opportunities on. And so this is such an upside down kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, right. that we're a part
Absolutely.
Of because mm-hmm. he's doing the opposite of what the world would tell him to do on the success of this song. Mm-hmm. So what did you think about that?
I think I see that and I go, that's a loving father. Yes, Corey, but I go, Heavenly Father, you care so much about that family unit because you know that's where the blessing is going to come from and that's what is displaying your kingdom. To me, it's not being mean. It's not even a test. Well, it's probably so many things on so many levels. Brothers would be like, it is, you know, this and that. But first and foremost, it's like, wow, the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father to go, I know that this is going to secure you and stretch you so that you can be entrusted with more.
Right. Mm.
So maybe you got all your dreams now, but he's got so much more in store for Corey, but will he be ready? And he cares about that.
Totally. He also cares about his marriage and the mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was thinking about that, like, wow, you know, men in the world that we live in really in large part define themselves by their career, mm-hmm. by their success, by what they do rather than who they are. And that's wrong. That's wrong. You know, but no one would have blamed him if he jumped on the crest of this wave and rode it for the next 2 years and, you know, sent a postcard
right.
to Gabriel, his son, or to Anna, his wife, as he was on the other side of the world. Mm. So, you know, what do you think that, you know, I mean, it's like, what do we need to learn? I mean, that is the lesson.
It's interesting as you're saying this as well, because it's also like God infinitely knows, like, number one, anything that Corey or any of us could try and do, mm-hmm. right? In even as the world says, like, well, you need to go out and you need to be on this strict schedule. Mm-hmm. God knows that he can do it. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like you were just saying about Jonathan, like,
yep.
there's an army here. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If God wants to take them down, he can do it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And the beautiful thing about that is also, I believe there's a gift wrapped in there, because it's like, I'm not only going to take care of you as my son,
yeah. mm.
but I'm also going to gift you with something that you can't get back in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. You can't get those times back. You mm-hmm. can't get 4, 5, 6. You can't get those moments back.
No, you can't. No, you
and
can't.
And yes, we do all have eternity, but enjoy every single thing that I'm giving you now.
Yeah, because the parenthood is the most important. The children are the most important. That, you know, look, I walked away from my career in a season, and I mean, you know, where I knew my son needed me more. I knew there was more, and the more had to do with the young man that I was raising, and did I want to release him on the world in God's, you know, will, or did I want to release him on the world outside of God's will because I didn't do my job, mm-hmm. you know? And the choice for me, I've never looked back on the choices that I've made because they were always motivated by a desire to enjoy the moments with the one thing that mattered most. That's with your family, you know, the family, a family can keep you grounded in so many ways. And I think we find family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think we've still, told me the family that I have, like, Christian family I have.
Yeah.
I genuinely said this about some of my best girlfriends, and I was like, no, like, we won't be friends. And then my closest...
I know.
...ride or die friends.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing about, like we were saying last time, about curiosity as well.
Yeah, no, I remember with you when you, right after Hannah got saved, and there were a couple of young women, the Lord told me, Hannah's going to become great friends with this one or that one. And Hannah was like, no, they're really nothing like me. No, we really don't have the same life experience. No, I've really grown up differently. And I just smile and laugh, and I'm like, that's so cute. But there's so much more that divides us once we that unites us once we're in Christ than divides us. Mm-hmm. That's the insane thing. Like, you can look like you look, you can look like you look, you can look like you look, and I can look like I look, and we are all family in the kingdom. In the body of Christ.
It's fun how God does that. I love it when you say something, you make a statement, and he's like, okay, 5 minutes, like, and that statement is completely revoked, and you're just I know nothing. I don't know anything.
Exactly. The only thing I know is I'm going to listen to God. If he says do it, do it. Mm. If he says don't do it, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that. I put God to a test years ago with Christian when I said, you know, I said to you one day after church, after dragging him to church, he's a young teenage boy, 14, 15 years old. He really didn't want to go to church. I was playing his Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That message was really for you. And here he is, you know, on the pew in the church, like, oh, I hate my mom. You know, I was awful. I was the worst kind of parent. Stop beating your kids. Stop playing Holy Spirit with them. Just pray for them. He's going to be faithful. And I remember I looked at you one day when you said, stop beating your son. Stop it. Stop being his Holy Spirit. God's got a plan for him. And I looked at you and I said, oh, yeah. Well, the only way that young man's going to give his life to Jesus is if God sends along a 6'5" former NBA point guard who's black and a pastor. That's it. That's the only thing reaching this kid. And within about 7 months, I was wrecked in a church that I'd never been to before, that my son asked me to go to because all of his buddies were going there. And at that point, I didn't care where he was taking me. He's like, I want to go to this church. I don't want to go to your church. I'm like, oh, I hope it's not the Church of Satan, because I'm about to go with this kid anywhere, anywhere that has the word church. I will go with him if he wants to go there. And I look up at the end of that service, and there's Christian on his way to the altar. And I know you remember this. And I'm just wrecked. And then I found out that the lovely black pastor on that altar is a former NBA playing point guard who loves Jesus by the name of Mark Jackson. Some of you will know him, some of you won't, but he's a Hall of Fame NBA player in America. And that was what God gave me exactly. He did exactly what I said he could not do to make sure that my son got saved. Mm. So by the time it came to your whole change of girlfriends, I was like, oh yeah, okay. she's about to see. Mm. So I got a question for you guys, and out of something that Corey said that was, I think it was another one of those mic drop statements. And he said, God isn't out to hurt our pride, he's out to kill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. No other words needed. That's pretty much it.
Whoa. Does God really want to kill our pride?
Yeah.
Well, he wants to kill the flesh, the mind
of the
flesh.
Which is very prideful.
Not this flesh. He wants to kill the mind of the flesh.
Mm, yeah.
So that you might live in the spirit.
Wow. Another thing he said that I'd love to hear you guys comment on is Corey said that the biggest issue that God overcame was his personality. Mm. And that, you know, what it's sort of dealing with the whole issue of like not being an Enneagram.
Was it? It's the Enneagram personality
test.
It's a personality test.
Okay. So like, I'm still grappling with that one because I'm like, overcoming is, well, I guess in a certain sense, but God makes our personalities. He makes us as we are.
Yeah, we don't have to own what the flesh does with our personality though. Mm. When Corey described his personality, he actually described fine traits in his core personality, but how it was acting out in the flesh was, he said, I'm direct, I'm to the point. I say my mind. And it's like, there's nothing matter with those things.
No, it's not.
But then he said, without
the love of Christ, and without that becomes mean, brutal, and hurtful.
Christian, were you thinking the same thing I was when he said that? Oh, I was. I was like, oh my goodness, now I know why you and Christian are friends. Christian's exactly the same way. He's direct. Christian is so smart, and he gets it. No, he is, Roger, and he's...
he's so smart. You're right, extremely.
And he's so direct, and he's so blunt that sometimes I know Hannah and I would be like, could you put a little sugar on that bit of truth, please? And not that you want to water down the truth, but you want people to hear you also.
But the irony of that is that you and I are both very direct. And so so it's funny because it's kind of like when you have somebody say it back to you, and that way you kind of go, why are you saying it to me in such a direct way? And I remember I was saying this about my mom, and I was like, well, it's the truth. It's just the truth, so that's fine. She needs to get over it. And a friend of ours was like, the truth with love really doesn't do a lot. Yeah. Without love, truth doesn't do anything.
So true.
Yeah.
It's true. My grandmother used to always say, you can criticize as long as you have a heart to help.
Yeah.
And that's very, very, very
By the way, that's not a bad, just for business people out there, it's not a bad business thing, too. How it's usually put, though, is if you have a criticism, don't bring it without a solution.
Yeah, no, I like
so
that.
So it doesn't mean that you have to have the solution, but if you haven't stopped to even think about what could fix everything, don't just be the complainer.
Yeah.
You're really good.
That's really good.
You're really good about that, actually. You know, you're much, I learn a lot about that from you, especially lately, you know, with new business things in my life. Like, we can always see the thing that's wrong.
Of course.
But the godly person seeks to see how to make the thing that's wrong right. Because you can bring God in it, every situation, I think, and make it right.
Well, focusing on the wrong never fixed anything.
No. Right. It just perpetuates the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. This kind of plays into something else that Corey said about the importance of, you know, his mom spoke identity over him from the time he was a young man, saying, you know, you're going to sing for the Lord. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And he was kind of like, I'm going to play professional baseball. You know what I mean? And she's like, no, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. And it's really the same thing with business, you know, or anything. There is something very important about speaking, you know, the solution, speaking the identity over situations and over people, over each other. I think it's important for us to speak identity over each other. You know,
definitely.
Right? Like, if it's that critical to children, that means it doesn't ever really change, you know? And a lot of times people use their words, right? In
the
all the wrong ways.
The power of your words.
Yeah.
So maybe you think around, if you're with someone who's constantly spewing negativity, that becomes a reality. What you think about, what you talk about, what you're meditating on. I mean,
can I tell you, honestly, speaking, I got, the reason why I love Corey Asbury's worship so much, and I always have from day one, is because of the joy in it. This is the crazy thing. And remember, there was a time where I looked at you and I said, I don't want to hear another death dirge for Jesus.
Exactly.
And he was like, what? And I thought, because what are we, like, there's this whole expression sometimes of worship that doesn't sound like worship. It sounds like, I love you, rescue me, I'm nothing, pay attention to me. It's like, it made me understand why Barbara Streisand, who's a big secular artist in America, I guess everyone around the world knows who she is, but, you know, there was this time about a decade ago where she said, I will no longer sing the love songs that I'm famous for because they were about a broken girl. And I was like, whoa, that actually stuck with me because in a lot of ways, when I think about worship, I want to celebrate my God more. I want to, you know, so I tend to gravitate, I think the whole world tends to gravitate to songs that actually do make us rejoice in who our God is. You know, he is the one that goes after the 99. You know, I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it, you know, but wow, there's such joy in that, you know? I mean, you have a song called You Are My Great Reward, and I always talk about it because I love it. Because it's like, I love songs that become anthems that celebrate the joy of being in relationship with Christ. You know, there's joy in it.
Absolutely.
You know?
You know, Robbie Dawkins always says that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this stuff, look at what Corey did. He risked not going out and promoting his song. Ironically, his song gets promoted, sung by everybody in the world.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's traveled the world without him.
Yeah.
Right.
I guarantee you that song's sung in Singapore right now, in Malaysia.
Oh, well, how many different countries have we been in where we'll take a video and send to Corey of some guy or girl, sometimes badly, singing his song in some other country, and everyone's just enjoying it and loving it, and you know, we'll shoot it to Corey, and he's like, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And so this is true with all of us, though. When we do what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. and don't try and force or promote or self-promote, when we do what we're supposed to do, it's going to have the effect. I mean, show's the same thing. Show's done what he's supposed to do, and it's gone out to the whole world.
Right.
Now... It's going to happen with all of us when we stay where we're effective and where God's called us to. Mm-hmm. When we go outside of that, that's when everything gets all messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say about doing these sessions for all of you guys, the enemy always comes completely against, you know, getting on the plane in the United States, getting to London to film the show that's going to go out around the world. And, you know... Anytime you determine to do something like for the Lord, for the Lord's children, you know, stuff's going to come against you. But by the time that I get here and I'm sitting right here, I never feel happier or more in my purpose. You know, it's like when you're driving in the lane that God has uniquely created you to drive in, outside of anybody's boxes and without any restrictions, the freedom in that is—it's contagious to everyone around you. Mm. So we're out of time, but yeah, that was good to have Corey on. It was good. So I hope all of you have enjoyed and are enjoying the sessions and kind of what you've been seeing. And I hope this little wrap up kind of, you know, put a little cherry on top of a very well baked cupcake, actually. So. I'm Cynthia Garrett. Thanks for watching the sessions, and we'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. It's me, Cynthia Garrett. I hope you're enjoying the sessions. And I just wanted to encourage you to pick up a copy of Prodigal Daughter, A Journey Home to Identity. It's my testimony. And you know, I always say that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimonies are our story of what God has done in our life. So I hope that you'll share this journey with me through my book and through the many lessons that God taught me through sexual abuse, rape, cancer, being a single mom, and dealing with all kinds of issues just like every one of you has dealt with. Prodigal Daughter, I hope you'll pick up your copy today.